recognizing that what we look at as our downfalls is actually propellers. It's actually stepping stones. Yes. The mess is a message.
Absolutely.
The pain is fuel.
Absolutely.
The problem is an opportunity.
Absolutely.
And that is how we need to look at things, because in there, that's where the beauty of life is. Welcome to The Catalyst Effect. This is a podcast that delves into the stories behind the entrepreneurs. We're telling you about the untold stories, the journeys, the lessons, all because we want to equip you, the viewers and the listeners, with information to help you along your business journey as well as your personal development journey. I'm your host, Natasha Waddle, and today it is my pleasure to introduce our guest, Miss Avia Lindy, the dynamic personality and founder of Evolve Business Solutions. Avi AI, definitely revolutionary in our day and age for business coaching. And she is just, listen, I'm a total fangirl at this point, but we're going to get into the conversation. Miss Avia, welcome to my podcast. Thank you so much for being my first guest and for lending me some of your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm quite nervous, I must say. But hopefully this is my first time as well. So I'd like to congratulate you on making this bold step. And I love the name The Catalyst.
Well, thank you. I've always liked change. I was once asked if I had a superpower, what would it be? And it would be to change minds. And I might not have that superpower right now, but through my actions and through our actions, I believe we can change people the way they think, being a thought leader. So catalyst is a fun word that I love. And that's also the impact of the podcast, the show. It's what we want to do. We want to take that step to help people to change the way they think so that they can think bigger.
So pretty much, if I were to sum that up, you want to be a catalyst for change.
Correct.
I like that.
Correct. So, Miss Lindy, tell me a little bit about yourself.
And it's okay for you to call me Avia because we're having a conversation.
It is always so funny for me to say Avia.
It sounds,
tell you have respect, especially for those people that you hold dear. So you could never call auntie, whomever, anything else out of that.
That's fine. We're breaking protocols today.
Okay. I'll be a bit weird, but I'll be going ahead. So let's do that over. Avia, tell me a little bit about you today.
So Avia, I see myself as multidimensional because I get to be a mom of four amazing young adults. And I get to be many things. I get to be a sports enthusiast. I get to be an entrepreneur. And I get to do all these things in this lifetime. So I consider myself multidimensional. And I more or less credit myself as a daughter of Zion. So my life has purpose. In fact, my name, Avia, means Yahweh is my father. So once I recognized that a couple of years ago, I know who I am, I know who my father is, and I'll just walk in my purpose.
And that is amazing. Walking in your purpose, I remember the first time I did Accelerator, Sadia from Glow Aesthetics gave me a card the second day. The first day, I wanted to know why they wanted me in that room. Because what do I know about mentoring anybody? And she wrote me a card that I placed on my desk. Even to this day, it says, walk in, step in your purpose. And I was like, what purpose is she talking about? But I must say, I look back at it today and I understand that in order for you to truly live, it must be through a purposeful life. So
absolutely.
It's amazing.
Absolutely. And it's kind of an evolution. And pretty much that's why I pretty much came up with the name Evolve, because we evolve and we're evolving on this journey. It doesn't matter what stage you're at, what age you're at. Life is an evolution.
It truly is. So tell us a little bit. I know when we were first introduced, I remembered myself when we were first introduced to Avia Lindy. It was as general manager of Metro.
Actually, it was CEO.
CEO, my apologies, of Metro. And I never well, I didn't know you at that time, but that was the introduction. And then I got to meet the person and interact with the person, and I got to know, well, who I respected as Miss Avia, but I'll say Avia. Right. Tell us a little bit as to what that journey was like, evolving from CEO of such a multidimensional company to evolving into your own brand.
So pretty much how it started, if I were to do a little backstory. So I actually started my journey in leadership as a teacher. At the age of 17, I taught Spanish and integrated science to forms 1 to 3 students in New Amsterdam at Burbage Educational Institute. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I just did it out of obedience. You know, your mom is like, you're out of school, you got to find something to do.
Yes.
And I didn't want to be a teacher because my grandfather was a headmaster. So there was so much discipline around you. Hell no, that's not one of the career paths. I actually wanted to be a medical doctor because my mom was a staff nurse, midwife, and my dad is a dispenser, a retired dispenser as well. So I wanted to be in the medical field. So for me, I found my journey. It's like I was pushed into rooms and areas that I did not sign up for. So early on, I recognized, so I became a teacher. Then I got this opportunity to become a travel agent. I'm also a trained travel agent by profession. So I started at Jim Backus Travel Service. And of course, at that time, there were, what should I say, stereotypes.
Okay.
So if you looked a certain way, certain industries you couldn't be in. Back in the day, that was not an industry that would have fit my profile.
Okay.
However, I got into the room. I grew pretty quickly in terms of management and leadership. I became a manager while I was about 20 or 21 years old. So hence, fast forward into Evolve, I figured that if people are empowered, it has nothing to do with age. And I'm a firm believer that young people can take up prominent roles in any given status or situation or role in life. And we should allow them to, because sometimes it's not everyone's journeys that you have to wait until you meet the 40 or 50 to do certain things. So I think I was more or less breaking stereotypes. I didn't realize it. So I became a travel agent, moved up pretty quickly, became the manager, ended up dealing with challenges with the company losing its IATA status. So then is when I learned that I'm a problem solver, that I can fix any problem. You know, and problems or challenges, I would like to say, when they show up at your doorstep, it's because you're equipped to handle them. So you don't shy away. Anything that shows up in front of you, as a challenge, you're equipped to deal with it. That's why it's in your orbit. So I've learned that. I had to learn that pretty early. So I had to learn to figure out how I'm going to solve and hurdle over all these challenges that is coming my way. So at some point, I spent about 5 years in that role. Then I left Guyana, and then I came back and started my life all over again. So I'm accustomed to starting over. It doesn't faze me. So I've done it a couple of times. I probably can share a few tips and starting over. And of course, the Metro at the time was going to come into a new area. They were in Georgetown, and they wanted to expand to Region 6, which is New Amsterdam. And someone recommended me. I'm always recommended for something because, you know, recommended me. And, you know, I ended up starting as the manager to start a branch in New Amsterdam and got a bunch of cool people and inspired them, and together we built something that grew into something amazing, and having to go to bigger buildings and making targets that no one in the company ever did. So setting the tone and the pace in terms of dress code, targets, you know, everything. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to go all in, 10 toes, 100%, give it my all. If I don't want to do something, then I wouldn't touch it. So, you know, after about 14 years, opportunity came for, they said they're going to appoint me to CEO. And I took the job and didn't know where I was going to live in Georgetown. Had my children at major milestones in their life, writing exams, CSEC and grade 6 and all the stuff. And I said, you know, I'm going to commute. So I commuted between Georgetown and New Amsterdam for 8 months every day.
Every day?
Monday to Friday, and got to work before people who were living in Georgetown. Yes. It's, you know, anything you set your mind to do, it's about a mindset. And the first thing I told myself, it's like people in other countries commute on a train, a bus, four buses. To commute from Burbies to Georgetown is maybe uncharacteristic for persons in Guyana, but it's not impossible. It's totally doable. So I did it. And that's pretty much how I got to there. I spent about 7 years in that role. I recognize, you know, that even if when you work for a company, it has a certain type of a culture that you would come and meet, and sometimes you're not able to transform it into the direction you would want it to, mm-hmm. of course. But I figure if I'm able to venture on my own, then I can build that and shape it in the way I want it to shape it.
And then came Evolve.
And then came Evolve, 2 o'clock one morning. I got the name, I got the core values and the vision at 2 o'clock one morning. I think it was in 2000. And I wrote them down in my phone. I wrote the notes down in my phone.
And what was amazing from what you said just now, just yesterday, a friend and I were having a conversation about the change in Guyana, how the economy itself is changing and persons, we as Guyanese need to make certain adjustments for ourselves because, one, we make those changes when we go overseas in another man's land. So why can't we do it? And commuting was one of the conversations we've had where we want to live in a space where we're 15 minutes away from work or we're 10 minutes away from work or a half hour away from work. We're not willing to commute for 2 hours. Well, if we go to the U.S., we're going to commute from New York or 2 hours by train, 1 hour by bus to go to a job and then leave there and commute to another space to go to a second job.
Yes.
Then commute the 2 hours back home. But we're not willing to do that in our own homeland where it is something that is becoming necessary because of the housing, because it was a real estate agent that I was speaking to yesterday.
Yes.
So we were having that conversation. And it shows a commitment that to you, the person, the personality, commuting from New Amsterdam to Georgetown, that shows character. That shows exactly how much you wanted the job. And I'm pretty sure in the eyes of the owners, it was something that was appreciated because you have other options. Why would you go through that in order to stick with that job?
So pretty much you do what you have to do and you have to do it pretty much. I don't see it that it required lots of thought. It's just another challenge. And I like challenges. So I went ahead, and it was a challenge and an opportunity as well. So, you know, I totally agree with you. So it's more of a mindset, and we're capable of change as people, you know. It's not beyond our reach if we really hone in and decide, well, why is it I want this? And why is this important to me?
Yeah, it's getting comfortable with being uncomfortable for a means to an end.
There you go. I could not have said it better myself.
So how has it been like from getting the idea at 2 a.m. in the morning for Evolve to now?
What I did initially, I didn't actually act on focusing on Evolve. I went off on a tangent and I started another company called Collection by Avia Maria. inner beauty, outer confidence. In fact, I was inspired by my sister who, you know, suggested that we do that. So I focused on that for the past 3 or 4 years. And it's only about a year and a half ago that I actually turned my focus to Evolve, to hone in on my skills in leadership, mentoring, and also dabbling in some technology as well.
All right. So I do want to get a little bit personal as to why did you hold off on Evolve before getting into it?
Pretty much because I didn't think I got clarity. What I did towards that goal is that I went and I went through a program, a coaching program. The thing with me is like, if I'm going to do anything, I want to make sure that I am knowledgeable. You know, that I have, that I'm not going to bluff my way through anything that I'm going to do because it's lives that are going to be affected pretty much.
Yeah.
So I have respect for the lives and people in general. So if I'm going to do something, it has to be done with a high standard. So I made sure that I went, invested a bunch to go do coaching. I did with Coach Transformation Academy, that's in Dubai, but the training was remote. So, you know, getting up like 4 o'clock in the morning because of the time difference to go through 21 days of training. It requires a level of discipline, but if you want something badly enough, you will make the sacrifice.
Definitely. So usually what stands out to me from a lot of leaders, it's that same word, sacrifice or commitment and discipline as well, because I don't like how I look, but I'm not willing to get up in the morning to work out. I don't like where I am, but I'm not willing to read an extra book to upgrade my knowledge. I don't like the people I'm around, but I'm not willing to make the tough decision to say, I need to cut you off because you're not good for my mental health, or you're just not good for where I am right now. Yeah. It's like that word sacrifice, and it has to come from a place of self. As I grow, I'm recognizing the importance of understanding self first.
Awesome. So you touched a very important topic there. You talked about self, and self-mastery is something that fascinates me. In fact, that's one of the goals or one of the areas that we want to tackle at Evolve, self-mastery, because how are you going to lead others when you can't lead yourself? So that's the question. So for me, it's more or less working on me so that I can help others. Because yeah. Most times what we tend to do is to point the finger away at from ourselves. But we're all subject to limitations. We're all flawed human beings. It's just more or less, you know, acknowledging where our strengths are, acknowledging our weaknesses, and understanding that just like you have weaknesses and strengths, other people do. They may be different. So we'll show people a little more grace.
Yes. You see, and this is why I love having conversations with you, because we connect on so many levels, just naturally, because the makeup artist and I was just having this conversation about giving people grace, because at first, maybe 2-3 years ago, the things that people would do would get me highly annoyed. Now, I understand that they might not have been privileged enough to be exposed to what I am exposed to, or to be around who I am around, or to have the mind that I have, where I'm able to be an alchemist and turn gold from messes. Yes. Right? I'm able to turn a mess into a message. Some people get stuck in the mess.
Yes.
And they just react from a messy space, and they just bring mess around. And that's because they're stuck.
Yes.
They haven't been able to grow up out of that.
Yes.
And as a person who is able, or the people who are able to recognize that we are privileged enough to cope with a level of stress and embrace challenges on a certain level, we need to give those people grace.
Yes.
We definitely need to, because sometimes they honestly don't know, or they just don't have what it takes to change.
Capacity. That comes to capacity. It's like sometimes we assume that because we're able to hurdle over a challenge, or we're able to find solutions, that another person should be able to do the same. And, you know, I think that's being a little insensitive, because we're never at the same place in our journey. It doesn't matter how mature a person is. There's something that you're struggling with. Yeah. You know, some of you may not be open about it, but everybody's fighting some battle internally. I guarantee that.
Oh, most definitely. Life is always happening. Life never gives us a break.
Never.
It happens all at once. Multiple things stacked on top of each other. And you have to figure it out. Life is just a personal development plan that says the fittest of them all will make it out, or will make impact.
Pretty much. I see life as a roller coaster. It's like the more I call it myself a hurdler, because everything that comes my way, I just keep hurdling over it.
Yeah. When I was about 22, to somewhere around 22 or 24, I was like, who told you? I looked up one day and I was like, who told you to sign me up for the strongest soldier camp? I never passed with this. It's like, can I catch a break? It's after one thing is something else. It's like, there's never a moment where I'm not dealing with something. Now, in that moment, I figured it was a problem that I was in a why me space. At that time, I was, why me? Why all these things happening? Why?
Why not you?
Exactly. No, I'm like, okay, when things happen, what is it teaching me? For me to be exposed to it, that means there's a lesson in it.
Yes.
So I need to get the emotions away. I haven't learned the balance as to how to get the emotions
You'll
away without
there.
Being without being cold. So for me, it's to get the emotions away to deal with the lesson. Look at the lesson. Look at the problem. Break it down. Analyze it so I can understand what the lesson is inside of it. So now when I'm posed, when I get a problem, I'm like, okay, I appreciate it. What's it teaching me? I sometimes beat myself up. I don't give myself the grace that I speak of a lot of times.
That's all right.
Right? And because now I know that there's a lesson in this and I want to find the lesson. Not recognizing that you just sometimes have to allow it to go out, go
Trust
on.
Trust the process.
Trust the process. The lesson will present itself eventually.
Yes.
You're open to it, so it will find you.
This thought just popped into my mind. It's like when the student is ready, the teacher shows up.
Yes. Yes, they always show up. And, you know, it's like you saying, I want a cake. And God gives you butter, sugar, a mixing bowl, and all that. And you're like, I said I want a cake. He gave you everything to make the cake. But you want a cake.
So you right? pretty much, that's when you think life is about shortcuts. I've had to learn that the hard way.
Shortcuts are messy. It's yeah. best for you to stick it out the long way. None the shortcuts. Trust and believe.
Yes.
Trust and believe.
Totally agree with you.
It's just something. And, you know, I love your business name, Evolve, because yes. I can relate to it. Life is definitely evolutionary. It is definitely a space where you have to, and Evolve just reminds me of my favorite book, which is The Alchemist. Every time I feel troubled, every time I feel like I'm in a place where I can't figure things out, I go back and I either read the book or I listen to the audiobook, reminding myself that he was in the answer, but he had to go out on this journey to develop character, to recognize that he was in the answer already.
Wow. That's powerful. I think that's, I can't remember the author is Coelho or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, something Coelho, but I would
yes, The Alchemist.
Read
yes.
some of his quotes, and I think it's really a great book. So it's pretty much amazing. So you were mentioning previously about Avi AI.
Yes.
So I kind of met Eldon Marks, who's an amazing human being. He actually mentored my son as well, who is who's a software engineer. So he actually built a platform called True Self, which is more or less an artificial AI agent that is human-like, which the voice, like in Avi AI, which is a micro-learning agent. I know many people may have been thinking that it's similar to ChatGPT, yes, but it's not the same. It's an agent is one that is trained to do a specific task. So, you know, there are artificial agents that are specialized in making music or doing images. So Avi AI is trained to more or less for different use cases. So you can actually do onboarding. Let's say you have tasks that are repetitive and you have staff doing that. It's not, you can't totally depend on them 100% to get it done. Like persons calling in to ask frequently asked questions about your company. So the agent can actually do that. Okay. So agent is like another member of your team, but they have different use cases. So the agent can also do like micro learning training, like in customer service. I think that was one of the reasons I wanted to have that use case because of what is happening in Guyana. And basically our brand is out there and we should be able to demonstrate high levels of customer service because we're having lots of persons flocking into Guyana. So, and of course, training is also very expensive. Not that companies don't want to do it, but it's an expense that sometimes they can ill afford, although it's necessary. So here is where like a micro learning agent can give you bite-sized learning and it can be tailored to your organization. If it's FAQs, onboarding, anything that is monotonous, it can also be integrated into if you have a platform. And also the beautiful thing about Avi AI, it speaks over 40 plus languages. So because Guyana is a melting pot and we have diverse ethnicities here in their in the workforce, we have to find a way so that we don't have communication sensitivity issues. So having a tool like that integrated into your workspace would more or less help to onboard persons of a different language. They can learn about a company because it can be translated into Spanish or French or whichever language. I know it's kind of like very revolutionary and most people don't understand. So most of what I've been doing is try to create awareness so people understand and kind of like sharing how the agent reacts. And it's pretty much accessible on WhatsApp. So the agent is another WhatsApp number, that someone who you can send a voice note to and talk to you. And then there's the web access, which you can access on the web. And there's also a dashboard, so it gives you data analytics. So you pretty much can have a report. And data in this day and age is golden.
It's golden.
So pretty much that's it.
I tell my team a lot, and they probably are very annoyed when I say, did you capture the data? Did you have the information?
Yes.
Like, because it's not that I don't care about the other things, but the data tells me a story. That story is what I want to pay attention to.
Yes.
That trend is what I want to pick up on. So data mining, it's really and truly one of my passions.
That's interesting.
Really and truly.
That's great.
One of my passions. So I love that AVA, I can do that because, and I like that you are revolutionary in a space where we are not as open to it. So you're basically breaking another ceiling down.
Pretty much.
Because, you know, Guyanese, we're still very stuck on a WhatsApp, calling in person, people doing business. That's how we prefer to do business. But we do have some challenges there, meaning we have a workforce challenge.
Yes.
We have an attitude challenge in the workforce that is available.
Yes.
And we also just have challenges where sometimes the business owner themselves might not understand culture as yet. They understand how to make money, but
yes,
they don't understand business culture and business building as yet.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And, you know, dealing with cultural sensitivity, because here's a melting pot, as I said before, we have diverse cultures. Guyana has not experienced anything of that nature before. We're accustomed doing things a certain way, but it requires acceleration in the way we think, in the way we operate. And that's where technology comes in. It's like my son would say, he loves technology because it can solve real world problems. And it's not this fantasy as we may think it to be, because I'm not dealing with the actual technical aspects. We have experts dealing with that. But I just figure that I could create a solution that will be a catalyst that would also be easy to scale, because you can access the agent from any part of the world. So you're not just creating a solution for a market that is not ready to embrace technology very much at that level. I understand that. But those who are willing to at least take that bold step and join me on that journey and transforming, creating, empowering digital transformation in Guyana, you know, and I'm sure, I'm very optimistic that it will take on but a life of its own, but it's not ideal or is a service that is just local. It can right now, anyone in any part of the world can use it. And that's my thinking behind Evolve. It's if I'm going to create a company, it may be small initially, but it should be able to be scaled. And that brings me to the importance of systems, which I know you can totally relate to.
Of course, because I was just about to cut in and say, oh, you're definitely speaking my language, because as I entered the world of business officially by myself, not just managing another person's company or playing a role in somebody else's company, but having to figure out for myself, then getting stuck or failing or having my first few lessons, I would say, not failures, my few lessons. And then I went in search of help. What I quickly recognized is we have a somewhat of a business culture that teaches you just to be local and do local, but we don't build to one, expand to several places in the one local market. Like say you can serve Georgetown, Linden, Burbies, and you can also serve Trinidad, Barbados, Germany, the USA. When I go around, I want to see Guyanese businesses. But in order for us to do so, we have to, one, set the right foundations in place, which is the systems.
Absolutely.
We have to be able to not build our businesses as franchises, but use the model where we can pick up the business and place it in a new space and have it function as the home, the headquarters, because you are not the business. And it's an ego thing for us, the business owners. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah.
You are not the business.
Call it like it is.
It's not about you. Remove your ego.
Yeah.
It's not about you. And I had to rip. That was hard for me to do, to have to say, you know what? You know what my biggest challenge in this business is? It's me. I am the problem.
So you want to do everything,
right? I am the problem, right? I had to recognize that if I'm to, one, practice what I preach, then I need to remove myself from the operations. I need to remove myself, and I need to allow the systems that I've been building to work for as long as I am there. I don't test the systems.
Exactly. So, you know, so you've evolved pretty much from being one that feels the business revolves around you, but instead now you're allowing the systems to be the business.
Yes.
So many entrepreneurs are not there yet, because nobody wants to... writing systems or putting systems in place is the boring part. They don't like the part with having systems. And I recognize if you are the main resource and if you don't have systems and you want to hire people, what is there for them to guide them so that you can step away? So I'm not there yet. That's why I'm on the journey of implementing the GYS 901-2024
yes.
quality management system. And, you know, so that's like the foundation.
Yes, and that is the important part. So this just leads right into the conference that I'm about to have in March, regulations and beyond, because that is the conversation that we want to have. I know when it first hit, social media persons thought that, oh, regulations and beyond is just about NIS and GRE compliance, but it's much more, because compliance is a culture. Compliance is more than a certificate,
yes.
Because I know a lot of companies that have compliance to the level of 9001 certificate, but I can't feel it when I walk into their business places. So the culture isn't there. They
yes.
have the certificate, but they don't have the culture. And then in our rapidly evolving business space, we're finding that Guyanese who are refusing to level up or to implement standards will be forced out of the business space, or they will be stuck serving just one level of clientele, because in order to level up, you need standards, you need a foundation, you need to comply. When we say compliance, we don't mean pay taxes and pay NIS contributions. We mean be compliant to international best practices.
Brilliant.
That's what we mean. That's what the compliance conversation really is about.
I can see you're very, very passionate about
yes.
about compliance. I think what we have to take a step back and to look at it's the culture. And change doesn't occur at the pace we would like it, because if you're comfortable, and most of the businesses, they grew the businesses, they're successful, they're legacy businesses, they've been around for a number of years and they've done business a certain way and they were successful. So now you're telling me that I have to change the way I operate and I've built a successful business just doing what I'm doing. And
yes.
so it may not be a fit for everyone, but those up and coming businesses that are now growing, it's important for you to, because you're operating a different landscape. You don't have that legacy to build on.
Correct.
So it means that it's important, these conversations that you're having and the advocacy. And I think this is the first compliance conference we're going to ever have here.
It is. It is.
So it's, you're pioneering something that's pretty, pretty important. I'm sure the GNBS and all the compliance agencies are going to be very, very happy to probably come on board and support
yes,
it. But it's a culture, indeed.
It is definitely a culture, because we do firstly need to change the way we think. That is our biggest problem. The other day I was like, you know, I think Guyana needs, you know, the old time phones that you could take out the battery.
You talk about the ones that you dial with?
No, like the cell phones back in the day where you could pull out the battery when it was giving you trouble and just power shock it. Sometimes I feel
like
when it comes to our culture, when it comes to our culture in Guyana, you can just pull out the battery and give us a good power shock, because I feel that is our biggest problem. We can have fancy infrastructure, but if we don't have the right thought process and the right mindset, we're going to mess up the infrastructure. We're going to go nowhere fast. And that is one of my biggest fears for my country, that we are investing in everything else except our human resource and the way we think.
Oh my goodness. Eventually we will catch up, because the economy is accelerating, and there are things that are outside of Guyana that is pretty much going to force us to go into a certain direction, because Guyana is not an island unto itself. And in order to be competitive, we will have to make those shifts.
Yes.
So I'm not worried. What we don't get now, we'll get it later.
Oh, yeah. So I posted on LinkedIn maybe a year ago, and I said that I knew, or less than a year, that I know my business is not going to be impactful or successful until another 5 to 10 years. And persons reached out saying that I was talking down to my business, or why do I have such light faith? And I'm like, no, it's the reality, because what I'm trying to impact, it's not getting you registered. I'm trying to change a culture, yeah. And I'm trying to get other people on board with me, because I can't do it alone.
Correct.
I'm trying to get the right people, the right players on board to say, hey, if we want to change our country, these are the things that we need to do. Let's find the solutions. We complain every day. I scroll Facebook and I get so annoyed with us. Like, why are we always complaining? We're almost always complaining. And we have a choice.
Yes.
We have a choice. We can either complain or we can get together and find
solutions. Yes. So hopefully we have, more of these conversations. And that's why it's so important for you to be intentional about the spaces that you're in and the persons in your orbit. And that's, that's why it's important to have like masterminds.
Yes.
Where you have people, not yes people, of course, but people of like mind that can, who your goals and your dreams and your passions align, so that you can move these important conversations forward. So, pretty much, I think what you're doing, I've been following you for a little bit, and I think what is so amazing is, I think transparency, even with me, people say, you shouldn't say certain things. I said, well, I am the best person to tell my story. I don't want someone else to tell it. and mess it up. And, we have to understand that we're not perfect. Our struggles may help someone who is going through a similar challenge. So even the pitfalls you're having in your business, and you share them, it's going to shorten the learning curve for someone else who is probably having a similar issue. So for me, there's no gatekeeping on my side of the fence.
I love that word. There is no gatekeeping over here either. one of the reasons that I decided to start sharing my story, even though, I'm a business mentor, coach, whatever, people come to me for business advice. And a lot of time I'm giving the advice and I'm there like, why are y'all coming to me? I'm a hot mess too. I'm a hot mess too. Why? What makes you think that I could help you? But I give the advice nonetheless, because my mind is built to solve problems.
Correct.
Right? So you can tell me the problem, and my mind is wired in such a way that as you're speaking, the wheels are turning and I can help you. Right?
Awesome.
I understand. But I found myself in a space where when I was fresh in business or thinking about getting into business, all of the people that I admired, when I finally got into the spaces with them, I was disheartened to meet the personalities.
Wow.
Because I have been following you for all this time, and you're not who you portray yourself to be on social media. You're not who you portray yourself to be on these boards. You're not who you... There's so many people, older than, younger, age, sorry, we're say males, females, and it's like the more I met them in person, I got to be around them. I'm like, okay, so it's just the personality on social media. Cool, I get that.
But yes.
Understand that I was following you.
Yes.
Understand that. And now I'm disheartened because I met the person and you're so far from what you preach. So I was like, you know what? I don't want people to think that about me.
Okay.
I don't want you to be following me and think, build a personality as to who you think I am, or translate my person. I will tell you exactly who I am. I am a hot mess too.
Yes.
I am an idiot. I am a good person, not a nice person.
and you speak your truth to power.
I will let you know who I am because I know what it felt like to admire somebody and then be disappointed when I actually got to interact with them, that they don't stand on the values that they preach.
You know, and that's pretty much, you know, that it's interesting that you say that because what we don't do most times, we have to manage our expectations. Yes. It's important to manage expectations. We have to realize that social media, you can live a curated life. That's not your reality. And that's why, you know, face-to-face engagement or meeting people, you get to feel the energy. And you're able to make a more informed assessment, I'd like to say, to, you know, of this. Is this the people that I want to be around?
Yes.
Do they share the same values like I do? Do we have anything in alignment or in common? Can we work together? So it's managing those expectations that will help you when you show up in certain spaces, not to allow what you see and hear to go skin deep. Because yeah. People are going to be people. And as you rightfully say, we're all hot messes.
Yes.
In some you know, shape and form. You know, so once we recognize that, you know, we're able to set boundaries. That's an important important word.
A very boundaries. Important word. A very, very important word. But it goes deeper than boundaries. You can't have boundaries if you don't know what you're protecting. You got to know what you're protecting, which means you got to know who you are and how valuable it is, which goes right down into your value system.
Absolutely.
Which is something that I wouldn't say it took me a lot of time to figure out, but I'm happy that I've been able to figure out that my values is important. Yes. And it's now a message that I preach. Because if you don't know who you are, people will tell you who you are. And then you'll wake up one day like, that's not who I was supposed to be.
Yes. Like, they'll project. You'll find people will project their perception or their beliefs onto you.
Yes.
And if you're not grounded in who you are, mm-hmm. you can be swayed by
easily.
Yeah. It's like you could be like a leaf blowing in the wind. It's important. I think even so now because of the population, or like in Guyana, 35 and under is the majority of the, yes. the population. But then sometimes they follow, as you rightfully said, you go on social media and you want to pattern your life after someone who's probably a total mess when they're off social media. But so if you're not grounded and you don't have values or value system, it means that any wind blows, you're like a leaf blowing in the wind. And I think it's important for us to, you know, encourage our young people and so that they have a voice and listen yes. to what they're saying. I think we don't do enough of that. And that's why you will find that they shy away from certain spaces and certain discussions. And I think when their input is missing, that's why we have a total mess when we're trying to solve problems, because we don't have all the necessary voices in the room. I'm an advocate. If I wasn't given an opportunity early on to be in management, it had nothing to do with my age. It had nothing to do with the qualifications, because I was managing without a degree. You know, I got my master's while I was already a CEO. So it doesn't mean that you didn't know what to do. If you have influence, you can mobilize people, you're empathetic, you're disciplined. It means that you can get things done. I'm not saying that education is not important, because I'm a firm believer in that. However, that should not be the only variable in this equation.
Correct. And as well, as a young person, I usually feel like decisions are made without my voice. Decisions are made without knowing the real problems that I'm having. And not just me, but persons like us. Like, how do you just use statistics to tell you about me?
when you can actually
get me
in a room and, right? and ask
we
the
have
question.
Eager young people who are able to, like, when I am in, I have to of course bring Rotary or Rotaract into this.
Awesome.
I am a Rotarian.
We both are.
Yes. Right. When I'm in the spaces, I'm like, these are conversations that need to be heard on wider platforms, because they can actually run a country better than a lot of, they can run my company.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
That's why I love Rotary, because it's in an organization with structure.
Yes.
It has a constitution, bylaws, there's a learning portal. It's a well-run organization, and one that's over 100 years old. So, and it's a great ground forum where Rotary is getting a plug, and Rotaract and Interact is getting a plug here on the Catalyst, because it's, you know, it's a great incubator.
Yes.
To build leadership capacity. People can learn about community projects. It's great for learning project management as well. And building capacity for future leadership roles or even current leadership roles.
Yeah. And, you know, it is important because a lot of the initiatives that I have planned, especially when it comes to leadership and changing, I haven't given up on my age range, but I just believe that if I've missed my generation, I'll catch the next one. Absolutely. So they're more so geared towards children, teenagers, or primary school, because they are brilliant and they need certain conversations. There are some key conversations that we eliminate from kids until they get older. And when we're older, let's be honest, life happens too fast.
Yes.
And we have to figure a lot of these things out by ourselves, for ourselves. Like, why don't you teach me about taxes in school when I have to start paying taxes from the time I'm 16 years
old? Why don't you teach me about financial...
Teach me financial literacy.
Financial literacy. It's important. You know, I recall even as, you know, with my children, you know, even when I was when I had did my expenditure, I would always like account to myself for monies that I've had. And, you know, and I would like, you know, I would teach them, I like created accounts for them since they were little. And then I would do like a standing order to ensure that I did save for them. And even if I had to use the monies, I would let them know. So I was transparent. I think it's important for us parents and those who are planning to be parents to be transparent with your children and to teach them certain things. See, I didn't realize that they were paying so much attention. Now, you know, I see how they're able to manage finances and be good stewards over whatever finances they have. And it's something that had to be taught. And you didn't have to be wealthy to teach children financial management. You don't have to have a lot. It's just that I taught them the principle is that saving is something that it's important. You have money, you don't spend all of it. Like, I have two of my children, they're not working, but they shop online more than I do. And it's pretty much a principle. When anybody does a chore at home, they get paid for it. In fact, they said it's not a non-for-profit, or they don't work for free. And, you know, and I don't blame them. They're like Gen Zs. So, you know, they're very radical in their thinking. And so they're empowered to earn, and also they're independent and they're empowered so they can buy their own stuff.
I'm not a parent, but I was a child. I am a child. And I'll say that parents don't recognize that children are learning even when they aren't teaching. What we do in our early adult life is what we learned from our parents, whether they taught us intentionally or not.
Correct.
A lot of us learn toxic traits, though, because our parents hid a lot of the real conversations from us or didn't have the real conversations with us. So what we practice is the things that we either figured out or thought we knew.
Yes.
And the things that they practiced, which was the toxic part of their life.
Yes.
And more deeper than that, when we get our first partner, we're more likely to marry our parent or parents as our partner. So your parent, being a parent is a big deal. There's so much that you're supposed to be teaching that child, because whether you like it or not, they are learning.
Absolutely. You know, that's why to be a parent is a privilege. To be quite honest, I didn't know what I did to deserve the job of being a steward. And I call myself a steward because those lives were loaned to me. And I could either make a mess of them, but in the final analysis, I'll have to answer. So everything I do is intentional. Even now, even as they're grown adults right now, I'm still very intentional, because remember, I am still growing and learning. In fact, I've learned. I remember my son said to me, "Mommy, when we speak sometimes, it's not for you to respond or to give a rebuttal. We want you to listen." It was very humbling. So I've learned to listen, and as a result, I've learned, because sometimes they grow up so quickly and we tend to think that they're not learning, and, you know, we are the authority on everything. No, take several seats in an empty stadium. And
yeah,
you can
and
learn
them. Because why are you sending them to school if you don't intend to learn what they're... Because remember, some parents, a lot of Guyanese parents, did not have the privilege of going to school like
yes.
we are getting.
Yes.
So allow your kids to teach you what's new, what they're learning.
Yes.
Have the conversations with them. Be open. And it's not just about being in control all the time. Ego. Put your ego to sleep.
that's something very difficult in the context of our culture.
Yeah.
Because we have to understand that the generation, like I've been around five generations in my lifetime. I had my mom, which is one generation, and then I had my grandparents, which is another generation. Then I have my generation. Then, of course, there's the millennials and the Gen Z. So I find it very privileged. So what I've been doing is reconciling how different generations, how they think and how they operate. So I quite understand where they were at that time. And you do the best you can until you know to do better. That's what I tell myself. There's quite a few things that I do to kind of help me to avoid unnecessary conflict. And I'm like, you know, where that person is, they're doing the best they can until they know to do better. And maybe I'm not the messenger to help them to get them out of that state that they're stuck in. So I'll just keep it moving.
Recognizing people for who they are, deciding if you want to journey with them or you want to leave them to figure it out on their own, because that's also another important part. I don't need to help you.
That's very profound. And that comes back to your ego, because I think most of the time we think that we can change people. I thought so too. I thought I could have changed my husband. And then I recognized that it wasn't my assignment. I did not create him. I didn't create myself. Why do I think that I have the Midas touch and I can change someone who don't even think anything is wrong with them and want to change in the first place? And that brings, that's why I don't force my children to do anything. I allow them to flow, because forcing people to do stuff is like manipulation.
Yeah, but you can't force anybody. Change is a personal choice, and it has to be tied to something in the end.
Exactly.
Why am I changing? What's in it for me?
Absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head. So,
yeah.
You know, if you don't recognize, you know, why, and that comes back to purpose.
Yeah.
Everything is premised on purpose.
Yes. So we will be having you at Regulations and Beyond on our panel to speak on governance. And of course, I'm sure I've shared by now that I want the no holds bar kind of conversation.
Yes.
Because we want real conversations.
Not
on
fluff.
Stage. We don't want the fluff. I'm tired of going to conferences where I sit there and I leave empty. And I don't want anybody who is attending Regulations and Beyond to leave empty. I prefer that you leave with a headache.
but in a good way.
In a good way. A good headache, right? So what can we look forward to on that stage?
So that governance is not a sexy topic that people like to talk about. You know, we would say that we, just like compliance, it goes hand in hand. So sometimes it's not a topic that we'd like to talk about, but it's important because it's also tied to values.
It is. You know, entrepreneurship is just personal development with a fancy tagline that if you do it right, you'll make money.
Yes.
That's all entrepreneurship is.
It's funny how you phrase it, how you phrase it that way. So I think the conversation on governance is something that we definitely have to have. I know people may not be aware, but I also serve on the Caribbean Corporate Governance Institute as a director. And for me, I gravitate towards spaces that align with my values and that I see that are important. So being in that space, because there are persons from different parts of the Caribbean, if you like, Jamaica is an example for all the Caribbean countries to follow in terms of their stock exchange,
yes.
Their governance ranking. They have a listing of persons who sit on boards. You have to go and you have to be on the listing. So you just don't pick board members because I like the person. They're my friend. They're going to agree with everything that I say. And you put them on boards, several persons on one person on 10 boards.
Yeah.
So they're stretched thin that they can be kind of be effective and stuff like that. So those are real conversations. But in a country that's very, very small, we may not have many persons with expertise and training. And that's why the work you're doing is important. And that's why this conference is important. And also, membership is open for anyone who wants to join the Caribbean Corporate Governance Institute. And there, you know, there are lots of free webinars that you can attend. There's actually certification on governance that you can go through so that when you function in these roles, you're more effective, you're able to add value.
Yes.
But you find not a lot of young people are gravitating towards that. But if we want to sustain a culture of governance, it means that we have to have everyone on board.
Well, we do need to introduce them to the conversation. That's one thing, too. We do need to introduce the conversations because I know I'm around a lot of the, I like to say, leading young people. Well, I'm not around them. I watch them on social media because I'm not a very social creature.
Okay.
Right.
You but could I have look fooled at me. Them.
I am not social. But I look at the young people and I'm like, these are the conversations, like, even when I don't agree with them, I understand their perspective, right? And these are the people that we need to give bigger voices to because yes. they are interested in learning. They
yes.
are interested in the conversation. They are interested in making change. They just need to be a part of the real conversations. Like our youth, the youth council that was very popular after the budget. Everybody was asking, what is the Youth Advisory Council?
Yes.
And then we were bashed for asking and we were told that, oh, maybe you weren't paying attention enough. No, why isn't this information on social media like everything else? Like we can look at the latest bacchanal, but we can't see the Youth Advisory Council doing work. And it is one of the spaces that those, I'm sure, young persons, if it is public, they will gravitate yes. to it because we want to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, I there's lots of good stuff that, you know, that happens here in Guyana, but I think sometimes we fall down on how the information is disseminated.
Yes.
I think that's a major issue. Another concern of mine is like stakeholder engagement. It's like you would know something is happening when it's already out there, but you're wondering to yourself, but I didn't have an opportunity to lend my voice to this conversation.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So you're right about the Youth Council. And if we're talking about sustainable leadership, sustainability, it means that we don't wait until we want to make that transition. And then it's when we're scrambling or looking, running around like a headless chicken to find solutions. So it's kind of setting the stage and building the foundation and grooming. And the young people want to be involved. Sometimes they would make suggestions and they're totally ignored. And I can totally understand. And if you're ignored, why would you want to contribute? Why would I want to be in the space that all these mature folks or learned folks or thought leaders, they are there and they're dominating the conversation and my voice is diminished or not even heard.
Correct.
And so that kind of a change or shift, it's not going to happen overnight, of course, but we still have to keep having those conversations, keep advocating, or more or less not even do things to create the shift.
Yes.
Because the power always lies in the hand of the people.
Correct. So we definitely need to. Ms. Avia, we've spoken about a lot of things. Before
yes.
we go, I want to have a conversation. I want to find out, what are some of the key things you have learned? Like, give us a 5 minutes masterclass on starting over, because you said you could tell us a couple of things about it.
So, you know, if I were to go about it in a structured manner, for me, life, their patterns, and everybody lives their life by way of identifying certain patterns and more or less creating some form of a system as to how you're going to operate. So my pillars are spirituality, of course. I'm for us a spiritual being. So that's important. Another pillar for me is health and wellness and fitness. So it's important for me. I'm on a journey right now in training my body to obey my spirit. I figure in areas that I'm struggling with, even in business, or let's say I struggle with procrastination, I can help the whole world or respond to them in lightning speed. But sometimes things for myself, I put them on the back burner.
I was listening to Mel Robbins and Simon Sinek. They had a podcast. They have a podcast up on YouTube, and I was listening to them. And Simon said the most profound thing, and it resonated. He said, because I don't mind disappointing myself.
There you go. So exactly. So having focusing on, so I figure if I can train my body to obey my spirit, I can build that discipline to the point of mastery. It means I'll take that same strategy and transfer it into other areas of my life. As it relates to parenting, I took that job very, very seriously because I saw myself as a steward. I said, if I'm privileged to be the mother of these four human beings, if I don't impact, how can I impact persons outside of my home if firstly I don't work on myself? And if I show up and be hypocritical, my children will see and they will know and they will call me out on it. God, they said, Mommy, we live with you. We know who you are. So it, for me, it's about being authentic and owning my strengths and my weaknesses. So it was important to focus on self, my spirituality, exercise, because I think that's something that most people struggle with. You know, you put it on a vision board and this is my new goal. Whereas if you want to change a habit, you have to replace it with something else. It's not as easy or automatic as we would think. So having the discipline to, you know, to go to exercise 3 times per week and stick to it requires discipline and understanding. Why am I doing this? Like my why for exercising is that I'm saying that when my children decide to, you know, go off and live their own lives, I shouldn't be a burden to them. Why should I be a burden to them? They have to be running behind me to take me to a doctor, running behind me because I have a crisis, because I didn't take care. I wasn't a good steward over this body that God gave me, that this is the only body I'm going to have to take me through life. And I was totally irresponsible. But then I placed myself in a situation where somebody else has to take on that burden. I don't think that is fair. As a parent, as a human being, it's not fair. And it's basic, simple principles that, you know, you have to look inward before you look outward. And I think most of us don't do a lot of or enough of reflection. I think and I've learned that from the past generation, they're set in their ways. This is my way or the highway. It didn't work well for us because look the world that we are living in as a result of the choices the generations made before us. So we have that opportunity, and those of us who have influence and have people following us, we have a responsibility to not just practice what you preach. I like to flip the coin, to preach what you practice. So if you're going to talk about health and wellness, or you're going to talk about this is an area that I'm struggling with and this is what I'm doing to help me on that journey and being accountable and being transparent, at least you're being real. You're not showing up, you know, as a hypocrite.
Yeah.
So pretty much, you know, working, being disciplined, and it's like having my system revolves around doing certain things, you know, so I have to do if I'm going to exercise, if I'm going to pray. And another thing too, it's like how it has, life is about how you deal with obstacles and challenges. And what you think is meant for your bad, most likely it's meant for your good.
That's right there. So I have this thing that I have inked. It says pain to power, because I grew up in a neighborhood where I did not have an example of what I wanted to be, but I definitely had examples of what I did not want to be. I didn't have a roadmap as to how I would come out of that, how I would be something else. I just know that by the hooks or the crooks, I'm not becoming that
awesome
that I was seeing around me. And being intentional, recognizing that what we look at as our downfalls is actually propellers. It's actually stepping stones. The mess is a message.
Absolutely.
The pain is fuel.
Absolutely.
The problem is an opportunity.
Absolutely.
And that is how we need to look at things, because in there, that's where the beauty of life is. It's in figuring the problems out.
Yeah, unraveling.
And learning the lessons.
I'm happy that you talked about crafting your strategy based on what you saw, but flipping the script by saying this is what you don't want to be. And I can totally relate to that because I remember as a manager in leadership, you know, I had a mentor, you know, that did things a certain way. And I see how it affected people. Very early on, I would recognize that people will gravitate towards me to talk to me because they felt comfortable and they felt safe. So very early in my leadership journey, I said, you know, these characteristic traits or these character traits are definitely what I'm not going to have in my toolbox, my leadership toolbox, because I've seen how the impact it has on others. And for me, I crafted something called my people-focused strategy, and people are not pawns to be used.
And that, I remembered one of the reasons that I backed out of a lot of groups in the last 2 years, one of the reasons I pick who I'm around very intentionally now is because the people in leadership think it's a title, and leadership is not a title.
I took a deep breath there, and because you're right.
And leadership comes with the responsibility of protecting people's vulnerability. And one, I've heard my own business from people I've confided it in. Mm-hmm. And two, I've heard other people's business from mouths that should not have told me it.
Oh my.
They confided in somebody and that person told me, and it wasn't in a very nice way either. And, you know, you're around people and we're learning 24/7. You're analyzing things 24/7. And from being around certain people, I started to take note and I said, you know what? If people look at me as a coach or a leader or whatever, these are things I don't ever want. So I will start first with me. I am only going to put myself in spaces where I'm protected, where my vulnerability is protected. And when people come to me and they're in there, because to be a coach is to be vulnerable.
Yes.
It's to allow somebody else to tell. You can't guide a person's business without getting into their business,
yeah,
their personal life. And when they share that information with you, you have a responsibility to protect it.
And coaching, it's called creating a safe space.
Yes.
For someone. And that's why, you know, I'm guided by the International Coaching Federation. There's ethics that's involved.
Yes.
So it means that you, if you act a certain way, which is outside of those boundaries, there are consequences because you're guided by ethics. So it's unfortunate, but it's a reality. I figure if persons knew better, they will do better. And another thing too, if those behaviors are accepted and they're not addressed, you find that they will perpetuate. People may not speak up about it. We have a culture to where there are lots of ills in society, and people don't speak about it because that's what the previous generation did. They kind of hid a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Which we're living in the impact of what that has caused. So it's as you rightfully said, it's important for you to be discerning and to have wisdom. It's very, very important. It's not, you don't just show up everywhere just because it's an open space.
You have to go with intention.
Yes.
Not every tin and cup knock you need to be at.
That's it. That's what we say. Guyana.
Right? So, Ms. Avia, it has been a pleasure having you on The Catalyst Effect. It is our first episode, and I'm sure that the conversation is going to touch, even if just one person, if we're able to create that impact, then we would have done a very good job today.
I
want to say thank you so much to our sponsors who made this possible. The Rehab Center, Alpha Media Creations, Express Business Solutions, The Fashion Box, and most importantly, God Almighty.
Awesome. It was a pleasure being here. I just, if I may give some parting comments, it's just be authentic. Everyone else is taken. Be yourself.
Yes. Be a hot mess and shine brightly in your mess. I mean, I do want to, of course, we look forward to having you at Regulations and Beyond. We will be sharing much information about that. For those who have been paying attention to Regulations and Beyond, We have pushed the conference by 1 month because it has taken on a life of its own. And now we have shifted the format. We are now going to have the morning session be just the panel discussions, as well as introductions and keynote speakers. And the entire afternoon, come ready to work. We're going to have 4 back-to-back workshops dealing with the key areas of compliance. So you will actually not just be given the information or the conversation, but you'll be given the tools and introduced to actually doing the work. So you can leave the conference with the tools you need to go back into your businesses and implement. Thank you so much for tuning in to The Catalyst Effect. I am your host, Natasha Waddle, and it has been a pleasure.